Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Score! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Splits the defense, has a chance. Dick shoots, score! Shoot, score! A spectacular rush from end to end by Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
And now the Thrun behind his net. 2 points today. Leads it up left side. Cunnan back on the ice, and he's bodied up hard by Brown. Cunnan looking at Brown. They're having a little negotiation, but now it's in front of the net. Bailey trying to get it toward the goal. And so Cunnan and Brown get back into the fray. Cunnan goes back and takes a shot at Brown now. Bailey stepping in. And the Cunnan-Brown battle continues. It looks like they're going to drop the gloves and go at it. Bailey's in there too. So is Lawson Crouse. We've got a brouhaha going. Back behind the goaltender inside the Coyote zone. And it's going to get broken up here as it didn't quite explode with the linesman stepping in.
Well, I liked our first two periods. And then I actually liked our first 4.5 minutes of the third. I thought their first shot and first scoring chance goes in, and then we just really unraveled a little bit. And disappointing because I thought we were doing a lot of good things and, just weren't able to get the third goal. And then, for them to get it that easily was disappointing, and I thought we didn't stick with it after that.
All right, what's happening, everyone? And happy Monday as we get rolling on a Morning Tide, looking back at a busy weekend for the San Jose Sharks, obviously, with a game on Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon. They split the weekend two-step, and now they find themselves in the final few games of the season. Five left. Tomorrow, they are going to be playing host to Calgary. Then they're at Seattle on Thursday. Back home against the Wild on Saturday for their final home game of the year. Then they are going to be at Edmonton on the 15th and at Calgary on the 18th as they wrap up what has been a long, trying, but I would say overall interesting season as just the many ways that things have worked out, the stories, the players, the development. So we are, we're in the early stages of something that's going to turn into something in a few years' time. But it is pretty interesting to me to watch the Sharks continue to have development. We got to watch Colin Graf yesterday score his first ever NHL point, which I thought was pretty cool. We've gotten the, continued growth of Fabian Zetterlund and William Eklund. We've watched Mikael Granlund reclaim his career. So, a lot of the stories that we look to this year are going to pay dividends later on. So, right now, while there are a lot of losses, it still doesn't mean that you can't have fun. And I still appreciate everything that the Sharks are bringing. Now, looking at yesterday's game specifically, first period was all right. I didn't hate or love any aspect of it. I could just tell that the Sharks looked tired. Like, that was my main takeaway. They're down when the period comes to a close by 2-1, but they gave up an early goal and had a quick response. That, to me, was the most important thing, is that I felt that the Sharks were going to be, in trouble finding their legs, especially after such an emotional win on Saturday with just, the heroics of William Eklund and just, really amazing victory, for lack of a better term. And so I was curious to see how they would come out of the gate, but Arizona didn't come out flying, which I thought was interesting. And, they didn't have the pedal to the metal, and the Sharks, I think were able to, roll along with them. So, Arizona scores just after the 3-minute mark, and then the Sharks via Henry Thrun were able to level things up. And a couple of minutes later, you get a goal from O'Brien that makes it a 2-1 game. But you had Arizona score a power play goal. The Sharks came back with a power play goal of their own, and then Liam O'Brien was the difference maker as that game continued. And, another really impressive day for Henry Thrun, who I think has been playing his best hockey of the year as of late, as he set up Luke Cunningham for a goal to tie things up at 2 in the second period. And that was where Colin Graf got his, first assist of the game. and of his NHL career, his first ever point. And then the third period, you could tell that the legs got away from the Sharks a little bit as, you know, they scored about 5 minutes in, and then they added on another to make it 4-2, and then an empty netter to make it 5-2. So it wasn't, I will say this, it was a game that we've seen very often this year from the Sharks, where they have the ability to go with the opposition for about 40, 45 minutes, and then things are going to get away. Now, we've talked a lot this year about how, you know, the third period has been bad for the Sharks, and lately it had kind of shifted to the first period. But, you know, this was a game where the Sharks just, in my opinion, didn't have it in that third period. They looked okay at the start, and then you could really see that even though they didn't have, a great spark in the first period, that the energy really started to eke out and leak away from the Sharks as they got deeper and deeper into that third period. And then, yeah, that was the tail of the tape. I mean, the Sharks just are not that team yet. I know that one of the things that David Quinn talked about when discussing the rise of Klim Kostin with the Sharks since he has come over to the team is that if he wants to take the next step in his career, he'll really need to work on his conditioning. And so I think that needs to go for a lot of the team. They need to have guys be in better shape overall. They need to have, just better levels of physical preparedness as they get ready for the next year. And I understand that there are also extenuating factors to this, right? Like I'm not ignoring the fact that they have had such a difficult season, that the weight of the losses, that the fact that they are not playing for anything specifically beyond their jobs does weigh on them all and makes it that much harder to, you know, summon the energy and summon everything that, you know, I think that we would all like to see them have. You know, and there's a reason that a lot of these guys on the Sharks have been, you know, moved throughout their career or have been up and down between the American League and the NHL. It's like sometimes the physical capacity is not what it needs to be a top level NHL team. And that's something that we pay attention to. And I think that for a lot of the younger guys, they're still building up their endurance. They're still building up what they're trying to get to. And, you know, Hedy's talked about this before, you know, he's about building up that physical foundation. And, you know, I think that Hedy is one of the guys that, you know, takes the physical and mental preparedness with an equal seriousness, which I think is really, really cool. I think that if you talk to Hedy about this, he would talk about the guys needing to get their mentals right before the start of every game, before the right start of every period, to be right locked in and focused. And he also talks about, you know, what you need to do over the course of your career to continue to build upon, your fitness and get better and better and better. And, you know, I think we need to have Hedy on here to talk about, and I just mean the Sharks Audio Network, not Morning Tide specifically, but I would love to talk to him more about, you know, how guys can improve themselves and what, you know, conditioning. These terms are thrown around, I think, sometimes is what I'm trying to say. And we don't always come back to them with a very clear outline of what that means. It's like, we'll get in better shape. Well, what does that mean? You know, does that mean that your body fat's going to be lower? Does that mean that you are going to be, you know, a higher VO2 max? Like, what are all these things? I mean, that's what it needs to get down to. And so we should have Hedy to get on here one of these times and talk about, you know, what conditioning means and how we determine what to figure out the best for each player. So that's a topic for another time. But I do think that the Sharks overall, it's not just the conditioning, it's the weight of the season. And it is the fact that it's that much harder. They are at a talent deficit. Yes, I know they can beat any team on any given night in the NHL, but there's a reason their record is what it is, right? Like the standings don't lie. They don't tell the entire story, but they do not lie. And so I think that there's maybe the fact that they have to work just harder in general over the course of 60 minutes of hockey to keep it competitive and keep it tight. And that takes a toll as well over an individual period, over an individual game, over an individual season. And that's, you know, what we're looking at with the San Jose Sharks. And I still love the effort that they give. I don't have a problem with the effort much at all this year. I still think they're trying. I still think they're fighting. It's the execution where things are lacking. And even in this game, I didn't think it was a, you know, terrible lack of execution or anything to that effect. It was just Arizona's better. Arizona's a better team than them. And then when the Sharks don't have a lot going their way, when they're not clicking on all cylinders, when they're maybe on the second night of a back-to-back, it's going to be that much harder for them to be able to walk away with a point or two when all is said and done. But again, I didn't walk away from that game being disappointed in the Sharks. It was just kind of like, yeah, there's a lot of pieces here. They're going to be part of something that's really good in the future. It's not there right now, but, you know, I was still entertained throughout the game. So I will leave it at that. All right, let's get into some of these highlights out of yesterday. It was the Coyotes who struck first early in the first to take the lead.
On the right side, Coyotes move it in. Logan Cooley, no relation to Devin. Stick handling for the Coyotes. Holding onto it. 10 seconds on the power play. Throws it across the rink. Michelli stops it. Turns in a counterclockwise direction to the slot. Shot, score! That's Lawson Kraus getting the pass from Michelli after he did that complete 360 on the left wing boards. And it's 1-0 Arizona on the power play.
Now, I am a little bit battle-fatigued from this season of the San Jose Sharks. Whenever early goals do go in, I get a little bit worried just to see where it could go. But the Sharks did a good job of responding. They calmed down after that point. And how about Henry Thrun, who, again, had a very, very nice day yesterday, had a goal and an assist, and just continues to look like more and more of an NHL player as we get deeper into the early stages of his NHL career. But, yeah, I mean, that shot he took on the power play to level it at one. It was a rocket. It was decisive. He knew exactly what he was going to do when he got it. Love it.
Zetterlund will take the draw, and he wins it. Thrun, right point, feeds to the left. Here's Granlund. Back to Thrun. One-time shot. Score! How's that for retribution? Henry Thrun took the penalty. Sharks gave up a power play goal. And now the young kid out of Harvard slaps one home to tie the game 1-1.
How is that for retribution? Love it, Ruzy. Yeah, Thrun bouncing right back and giving the Sharks a chance to get right back into the game. And after that, things did settle down a bit, and I think that's good. It's like you have those early parts of a game where it's like the other team's going to launch their haymaker. They go up on the power play. Well, you get the power play. You come right back, and you find the equalizing goal. And that was a good moment for the Sharks. And it was like, okay, you can relax. You can exhale for a little bit. This game's not going to get away, at least in the early stages. And from then, it was just kind of back and forth, both teams kind of feeling each other out. And I'll take that. You know, don't let the other team get too comfortable. The Sharks themselves were not able to get too comfortable, but, you know, there was a caginess to it. And then Arizona was able to take a lead just after the halfway point of the period.
Kerfoot into the Shark zone. Lead Carconi. He scored a couple of goals in that big game. Throws it in front of the net. There's a tip on goal. The save. Score! I think that Blackwood thought that he was going to get a whistle there, and the puck trickled in after the referee did not blow the whistle. In a weird scramble in front, a centering play by the Coyotes was tipped on goal. Carconi was behind the net, threw it in front, and it was tipped on goal by Liam O'Brien, and it looks like Kerfoot is going to get credit for that goal.
Ruzy had it right the first time. It was credited to O'Brien. But yeah, I mean, that's just the way it goes sometimes. Kind of a weird play, and you catch the bounces, you catch the trickle, however it's going to work out. And Arizona fought their way to take a 2-1 lead when all was said and done after the first period. But I didn't hate the first period in the slightest, and I thought the Sharks were in a pretty good matchup against Arizona. You know, it was not the spiciest first period we've ever seen. Things did start to heat up a bit in the second period, getting a little bit more physical. But in the midst of all the action, it was Luke Cunnan finding another goal. And Luke Cunnan just, you know, if you don't love this guy as a member of the San Jose Sharks, I don't know what you do love, because he battles his ass off. He fights. It seems like somebody wants to go with him every day. He finishes his checks. He gives just absolute madman effort. And, he's got the Wolverine facial hair, which makes it that much more fun. But yeah, I mean, Luke Cunnan just coming in with yet another goal.
Thrun sends in deep behind the net, but there's Brown knocking it away from Bortolo. Backhand's behind the goal line. There's a hit by Cunnan knocking his man in. Wow, what a body hit. And Cunnan goes from behind the net out in front for a backhand chance that's stopped there by Ingram. Front in front. Tipped by Cunnan. He scores! Luke Cunnan makes that whole play work. His last home goal was here at SAP Center in November. A game winner against Washington. This one is a game tire to make it 2-2. And that's all Luke Cunnan right there.
And Luke Cunnan, again, just continues to get it done for the San Jose Sharks. Whether or not he's fighting, whether or not he's scoring, whether or not he's efforting, he just does it game after game after game after game. And especially the fact that he's, you know, coming back from that major knee injury a year ago. I love it when guys have the chance to come back and become, you know, the player that they were before. And, you know, it's not just about being healthy. It's about Luke Cunnan, you know, getting back and reestablishing his game. And, you know, this is a storyline that we'll probably talk about with Matt Benning next year. But yeah, I mean, watching Luke Cunnan, you know, continue to perform and continue to be a leader out there on the ice for San Jose is it's big, and his teammates respect him. Mikael Granlund talked about how this is the third place that he's played with them. He played with him in Nashville, Minnesota, and now here in San Jose, and says that everywhere it's the same. Everybody loves what Cunnan brings to the ice. They love his effort. They love his mentality. You know, they love his performances. And, you know, it doesn't happen by accident when guys all around the league respect and appreciate your game. And that's what we're seeing every game from a player like Luke Cunningham. We get into the third period now, and that's where the Sharks started to run out of gas. It was just before the five-minute mark that the Arizona Coyotes took a lead that they would not relinquish.
Now there's the play back at the Sharks' blue line. Kerfoot, lead pass, breaking in. Gunther shoots, score! Turnover by the Sharks. They couldn't quite get the puck, a little slow to it. And Kerfoot gets it to Gunther, and the number one draft pick from a couple of years ago beats Blackwood to make it 3-2 Arizona with 15:04 to go.
And the Sharks at this point were only down a goal, and they held it for about another 10 minutes to just a one-goal game. But you could see the drive, the spark, the legs overall was just a little bit lacking. They did not let the game get away at that point, and it didn't become kind of unreachable until you get into the final 6 minutes and a 14-13. It was Clayton Keller with the 33rd of the year for the Coyotes.
Here comes Schmaltz, drop pass, score! Keller gets the drop pass from Schmaltz and bombs it home. That was only a matter of time before Clayton Keller would take advantage of the Sharks, and that booming shot gets by with 5:47 to go. It's 4-2 Arizona.
And that would be just about all this game had for us, except for an empty netter that was added on a couple of minutes later as the Sharks were trying to get themselves back into the game. But like I said, this one had pretty much been decided, and then the exclamation point was put on by the Coyotes.
Now Granlund on the near side gets to Bailey, puts it in the direction of Studnicka, couldn't get it. Empty net there for Schmaltz, score! So Nick Schmaltz gets his second point of this third period. Empty netter, 5-2 Arizona.
And that would be your final, as the Arizona Coyotes do come into San Jose and sweep the season series, downing the Sharks by a final of 5-2. And now San Jose has to get ready for a game on Tuesday night. They are hosting Calgary, their second to last home game of the season. Then they're at Seattle Thursday night, and then back home on Saturday as they play host to the Wild for their final home game of the season. Yeah, I hate it, guys. It's getting towards the end. All right, we are going to take a break. On the other side, we're going to get into post-game reaction and more. You are listening to Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Sederlund will take the draw and he wins it. Thrun, right point, feeds to the left. Here's Granlund, back to Thrun, one-time shot, score! How's that for retribution? Henry Thrun took the penalty, Sharks gave up a power play goal, and now the young kid out of Harvard slaps one home to tie the game 1-1.
You know, it's something that the power play is something I've always done throughout my career, and something I hope to continue to do in pro. So for me, it's something that I'm trying to get in a groove with it, and I think throughout the year, both on the power play and just my season's sort of been put in different situations, and I think that throughout the night tonight, I got a little more comfortable and holding on a couple more pucks. So it's something that I think I'm doing a decent job with it now. There's still, I think, room for improvement, but it's something that I hope to continue to do.
Yeah, Henry Thrun there talking about his play on the power play unit for San Jose. Obviously, he had that big goal that tied things up yesterday at one in the early goings. But Henry Thrun, again, his continued development as a player, his ability to be multiple things out there on the ice, I appreciate that aspect of his game. I got to call a Barracuda game earlier this year and watched him kind of, run things out there on the power play. And you could see, the natural ability that is there. And now you're watching it, evolve at the NHL level. And obviously this is the great learning experience for him. And, his game is by no means complete, but that's what I think is fun about where the San Jose Sharks are this year, as you continue to watch the evolution of their game. the evolution of what they can bring out to the ice and watch, you know, them develop the individual aspects of their game. Like Henry Thrun, you know, he needs to be a little bit better in terms of his puck management. Sometimes, you know, he's turned the puck over, but I feel like that's improving as of lately. And again, his decisiveness, you know, that was a no-doubter when that puck came to him. That's something that was a little bit, you know, more obvious in his game, that there was a little bit of hesitation. The NHL, there cannot be hesitation. And I know that we're all impatient. We want these guys to turn into the finished product immediately. But I think with Henry Thrun, you see a lot of ability that is continuing to develop in front of our very eyes.
Yeah, I think I've liked my last couple of games. I think that I had a good start when I came back up, put some good hockey together. And then I think when I came back from injury, I think I had a little bit of a stretch where I just got into bad habits where probably wasn't being as assertive as I could, just which is something that that happens, and that's part of being a pro, just trying to learn, work through that. And I felt that the past couple of games have done a good job sort of moving past that. And it's something that, you know, I've been pretty happy with, and I think it's something that any pro is going to go through. So I've been happy with where I'm at recently.
And I think that that's one of the things where you see the impact of an injury on a player, especially who is not, you know, complete in their NHL development. He was playing well, got hurt, went out for a while. When he came back, he had a little bit of trouble finding his game. I think he was trying to force it a little bit, and that's why he was maybe having some mistakes out there on the ice and not looking as, you know, polished as he had previously, because he wanted to get back to that level that he was at before he was injured. And when you are not, you know, the complete product in the NHL, it can take time. And, you know, to watch him now get back to that level and I think go beyond where he was earlier in the year, you know, that shows to me the hard work, the effort, the awareness of his game. He saw the problems he was causing himself out there on the ice, and he's in the process of rectification. Then he's going to go into a summer where he will have played, you know, over the course of two different seasons, an extended amount of time in the NHL. He's going to have a very, very good idea, and I'm sure he does already, but he will have even more of a clear-cut idea of what he needs to work on in the offseason, where he needs to improve, how he can go about doing that. And that, to me, just has me more excited for his future in the NHL. He was also asked about Luke Cunnan and what his leadership means to a younger player on the team like himself.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything, especially with Tommy being gone and Cooch, not being as present as we're used to. Cunny's really stepped up in that role, and I mean, you see it every night. There's no lie in the position we're in right now. These games, it's not like we're trying to get in the playoff spot. So, I mean, for him to show up every night, check, score goals, fight, it's something that I look to add some of that in my game, and I think a lot of guys on our team should, because it's something that you really can't put a value on it.
Thrun was also asked about, you know, how he feels physical having played this long and extended a stretch in the NHL, something he had not done previously in his career.
Yeah, no, I feel good, honestly. I think you know, just the way my season's progressed, as I mentioned earlier, it's sort of been segmented where, you know, yeah, you get a taste at the start of the year, make the team out of camp, and then put together a 20-game stint with the Barracuda, you know, come back up, and then we have a Christmas break, and then, you know, puts another 15 games together, and then All-Star break, and then since then, it's kind of been a sprint. So I've honestly have felt pretty fresh, and I think that these last stretch since the All-Star break is something that's probably been the longest stretch I've had throughout the year in any league. So as I mentioned, that might have been part with why I had to think of a little lull with some of my play for a handful of games. But I think it's, as I said, it's part of being a pro and kind of learning to grind through that, and I'm kind of happy where I'm at right now.
And that's just something that's going to continue to evolve throughout his time in the NHL. He's going to understand more about the physical aspects of the game, what he has to do to prepare his body. And he's a young kid, right? Like, he's in his early 20s. He was in college a year ago, and now he's playing in the NHL, establishing himself as a part of the San Jose Sharks. And I think that he's probably going to go into this summer with a head full of steam, knowing exactly what he needs to do to make himself that much better of a player. Let's talk about some of the post-game commentary from head coach David Quinn. He was asked about Colin Graf, and he was out there on the 6-on-5 towards the end of the game when the Sharks had the extra man on and the empty net. He had this to say.
I liked his game. Again, I thought he created some offense for us. He's real poised with the puck. Set up Cunning for a great opportunity in the first period. There's a lot of poise in his game, and when the puck's on his stick, good things have been happening.
I think the difference with Saturday with Graf was that Saturday he looked like he was trying not to make any mistakes. A lot more hesitation, a lot more just kind of unsure of himself, and that's to be expected. It's his first game in the NHL. It's not going to come easily. There's not going to be, a red carpet rolled out for him. But in this second game, I thought that he looked much more comfortable. And like Quinn said, when the puck was on his stick, good things were happening. You could see the vision. You could see what he's capable of. And, you know, that's just exciting to me to see that this player came to San Jose. Obviously, he knew Henry Thrun from the past, liked the Massachusetts connections that a lot of the guys here in the San Jose Sharks organization have. And so to see that happen, I thought that was pretty cool in general. But, you know, just the difference from one game to next for Graf was massive. And I thought he just looked that much more calm. And to see what he can do over the remainder of this season, you know, and the five games that are left, awesome. Let's see it. Let's see exactly what he can do to prove what he's capable of. And then he'll have that much more of a high-level assessment of his game as he goes into the offseason and know exactly what he needs to work on. And I know that, you know, the Sharks have not been keen on just letting guys come up and having to prove it to get here to the NHL level. But, you know, listen, they gave Bortolo that opportunity. He came up and he showed some of his stuff, and then he had to go down, and Thrun came up, and then he had to go back down. And right now, we're seeing Colin Graf. He's come up. He's getting his opportunity. So, again, this is a big part of what the Sharks are trying to do right now. They're making guys want it, and I think that's exactly what you have to do, is bring them up, give them a taste, show them what they're capable of, and then tell them exactly what they need to work on. If they're good enough to break camp with the team next year, great. If they're not, then make sure they have the obvious roadmap of what they need to do to get back to the NHL level. And I think, based on what I've seen, I'm obviously not a part of those private conversations, but they are giving guys the opportunity to come back up. They are giving guys the opportunity to prove themselves. And, you know, Shakir Mukhmudulin, obviously he got a chance, and he went back down, and he's going to be part of proving himself throughout the entirety of the offseason and training camp to, again, show that he can be part of the Sharks as they move forward with their timeline. Quinn also talked about Henry Thrun's evolution, especially controlling things out there on the power play.
Well, I think his overall game's grown, period, but I also think that element of it, I think there's more of a comfort level for him. He's not overwhelmed or intimidated by it, so it's good to see.
And this is something else that we talk about. It's not just improving your game as an NHL player. It's the idea that you are more comfortable out there on the ice. And I often talk about the decisiveness that I see. And we saw that from Henry Thrun on the goal that he did score. But it's like, is he comfortable being the aggressor out there? And I think that a lot of young players, they're worried about making mistakes. They're worried about how they're being perceived out there on the ice by their coaches, because nobody wants to be the guy that, you know, you get it to and they, you know, just give it back over or take a bad shot. You know, you don't want to be overly aggressive or make it seem like you're trying to prove yourself too much, even though they know they are all trying to prove themselves. So for me, watching Henry Thrun look that much more comfortable, look that much more confident, and look that much more capable, it's all part of the growing package of his game. And again, he has the smarts, clearly. He has the ability, and you see him look that much more comfortable. It's like, does he know that he is allowed to do what he thinks he's capable of? And I think that he has that trust from the coaching staff and that he's shown that he's capable of doing it out there on the ice. And, you know, you get a 2-point game from him. He's a part of both the Sharks' goals on this day. And to me, that's indicative of his continued growth at the NHL level. The Sharks had their opportunities in the third period. David Quinn liked what he saw initially, and then it got away from him.
I mean, we started the period well. I mean, I really liked the first 5 minutes, and then they scored, and, you know, we just kind of got unraveled. You know, anything wasn't anything emotionally. I think we just didn't, you know, we got deflated easily because I thought we were having zone time, and I don't know if we had any chances, but it felt like we were going to, you know, we were coming and hemming them in a little bit, and then they, boom, they get a goal that easily, and that kind of deflated us. Because listen, and we all know this, we have trouble scoring. Offense is hard to come by for us, so when you give up a goal like that, it can be deflating.
And I think it speaks to the whole idea that throughout the entirety of the season, the Sharks have very rarely been able to play a complete 60 minutes. And, you know, I know that there are only a few games left, but that's what I'm hoping to see. And, you know, the game against Calgary or the game against Minnesota and the two home games remaining is to get that 60-minute performance. Play something close to that level where they can, you know, show that they can do it. And I think that you have to take small steps, right? It's a matter of, you know, just showing exactly what you think the blueprint is, playing that 60-minute blueprint, and seeing what it yields. Because I think that, you know, you get away from it if you give up a goal, you start trying to cheat for offense, you start trying to overextend yourself, try to make something happen, you take a penalty that is the natural order of how a hockey game is going to go. But how you respond in those rare instances, that's going to be what, you know, really tells you about your team is, can they stick to the plan for 60 minutes? Because it's not just 60 minutes of efforting. 60 minutes of effort is always there. It's 60 minutes of the game plan, 60 minutes of not making the mental errors, 60 minutes of not letting a game slip away from you. And that is still what the Sharks are trying to figure out. And, you know, there's not too many chances left, but I would still like to see that be the goal as they continue on with these final few games of the season. All right, we are just about out of time. Be sure to be back with us on Tuesday afternoon as we get you ready for Calgary. 7:30 go time, 7 o'clock pre, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
Sends in deep behind the net, but there's Brown knocking it away from Bortolo. Backhand's behind the goal line. There's a hit by Cunnin knocking his man in. Wow, what a body hit. Cunnin goes from behind the net out front for a backhand chance, but stopped there by Ingram. Front in front. Tipped by Cunnin. He scores! Luke Cunnin makes that home play work. His last home goal was here at SAP Center in November. A game winner against Washington. This one is a game tire to make it 2-2, and that's all Luke Cunnin right there.